On a Friday, it is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So I don't use a wheelchair or a scooter or a cane in my daily life, but for people who do, I can only imagine that there's a whole lot more careful planning involved in recreational outings, in camping trips, exploring our state's scenic treasures, because not every place is accessible with minimal obstacles. We're getting our nature fix with accessibility top of mind and exploring the DNR's Open the Outdoors program. Have you explored the wheelchair-accessible state park hiking trails in our state? What's your favorite trail and where did it take you? Have you stayed in an accessible cabin or would you like recommendations? What is your favorite outdoor activity that you want to know about adaptive equipment and where it's offered? Join in at any point, 800-642-1234. Nick Zowski is Accessibility Coordinator for the State Department of Natural Resources. Nick, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
We're so pleased to take a tour of your favorite accessible offerings. What are the range of activities that have fewer barriers today or can be adapted with the right equipment that we may not know about?
Actually, pretty much everything can be. The biggies in Wisconsin, of course, are hunting and fishing, but camping, kayaking, hiking, skiing, going to the beach, pretty much everything that everyone else does can be made accessible.
Well, let's dig right in, starting with kayaking. What are the adaptive kayaks? How do they work?
So the adaptive kayaks are regular kayaks that have been fixed with outriggers on the back that provide stability, so they're less likely to tip. And they also have adaptive seating, so they're a raised back seat that has side supports. And then the paddles are, they have hand adaptations for people that have limited grip to hold the paddles.
Where can we find these kayaks?
We have them at Buckhorn State Park, Devil's Lake, Mirror Lake, Council Grounds, and Perot State Park.
How popular are they?
They're actually getting more popular. The last couple of years I've been with the DNR, the adaptive kayaking has really taken off across the country, really. So they do get used fairly often.
What if you've never used one? How do you learn?
I'd say trial and error, but water. To just get out and try it.
Yeah. Are there particular guides who could go with you? Maybe find a friend who's been in kayaks before. Might also be a good way to go about it.
I would definitely suggest going with someone with at least some experience, yes.
There's also beach wheelchairs. What are they?
So the beach wheelchairs are chairs that have big balloon tires on them to make them easily pushed, over the sand.
And so where can we find these?
Some parks have them, Big Bay State Park, Buckhorn, Harrington Beach, Kohler Andre, and Whitefish Dunes.
Have you tried out these beach wheelchairs before?
I haven't personally used them, but I actually talked to a couple of people that have, and they're very happy with them.
And do they have motors or do you push them by hand? How do they work?
Nope, they're manually. You have to push them.
Uh-huh.
We don't do the motorized chairs just because there are maintenance issues.
So are there beach trails that you would use these on? Where can we take them?
Actually they can go right on any beach. We do have some beach trails that are, they use the plastic mats, basically, that roll out to the beach that provide a firm and stable surface for people, not just people in wheelchairs, but also people that use walkers or crutches or any other kind of mobility device. I think it's important to remember that when we talk accessibility, it's not just about wheelchair access. I mean, that's kind of what we all picture, but there are many, many, many other disabilities that people have that don't require a wheelchair.
And with these mats that roll out, are those rentable or do you ask for them? How does that work?
No, the mats are just out.
They're out. Okay.
They're temporary, but they're, I guess, semi-permanent. Like, they get rolled out at the beginning of the season. They stay out.
We're talking with Nick Zowski, Accessibility Coordinator for the State DNR. He's taking us around the state, giving us a tour of activities and parks that have accessibility as the priority. With your questions, where have you gone to explore parks and how accessible are they? We're at 800-642-1234. Nick, how have you seen the focus change at the DNR with making the properties more accessible?
Well, I've only been with the DNR for a few years, and so, I mean, it's always been a priority.
Mm-hmm.
But I do notice a change just personally by being asked more. So when property managers or engineers or whoever are discussing a project, I'm happy to be in the loop because people ask like, oh, you know, we're building this feature, like what would be the best way to make it the most accessible?
And so when you go into those meetings, what do you say? What are some things that break down the barriers?
I think it's just a mutual understanding is really the key. To look at, not just pure utilitarian access, like can you access it, but also things like, for instance, viewing areas. You know, we look at the railing. Is there a better way that we can put a different rail so that people with, you know, that are using wheelchairs can, you know, can look and see what we're viewing without having a 4 foot tall wooden railing there.
Without obstructing the view. Yeah. You know, steps can be a big problem as well. How do you suggest we avoid steps?
They're mostly unavoidable in life, but with careful planning, with terrain and whatever, or, you know, if we're looking at a site for, you know, like a small observation deck or something like that. Maybe look at a different site that isn't quite as, rough terrain or something like that. But with careful planning, we try to avoid that.
Because it seems like steps are everywhere.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, like I said, it's, you know, some places they're almost impossible to avoid, but any structure that we build, we build with accessibility in mind. So, it's mostly careful planning.
We're going around the state exploring the DNR's Open the Outdoors program, and Nick Zowski is Accessibility Coordinator for the DNR. Shout out to Crex Meadows Wildlife Area north of Grantsburg with its accessible hiking trails and views of wetlands, brush prairies. High Cliff State Park on Lake Winnebago has a paved interpretive trail around the Butterfly Pond. What park or lake do you want to explore with accessibility in mind? What adaptive resources do you recommend for kayaking and canoeing? Join in 800-642-1234. Wisconsin Weekend continues in a minute with Nick Zowski here on the Ideas Network. We've arrived on a Friday, and you're with us for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The DNR is continually working to increase access to state parks and public lands. We're learning about the options for fishing, hiking, camping, many more ways to get a nature fix with accessibility the priority. Have you been to a scenic area only to find that the trails weren't accessible or not well marked for obstacles in the way of users? What did you do? Are you wanting to explore a state's natural resources but would like tips for accessibility resources that parallel your interests and pursuits? Bring your questions, your situations, 800-642-1234. Nick Zowski is Accessibility Coordinator for the DNR and stays with us. Nick, let's look at the cabins. The DNR maintains a number of rustic cabins around the state. Can you tell us about the amenities there?
Sure. Actually, so out of the 10 cabins, two of them are rustic. The eight other cabins are more accessible than my apartment is. They have the ramp. They are one bedroom. They have hospital beds, patient lifts, accessible bathrooms with roll-in showers, accessible kitchens. They're nestled in the campgrounds of the state parks because they weren't originally meant to be a cabin experience. They are meant for people that have disabilities that are sometimes too severe to actually camp. So they need, air conditioning, or they need, a bathroom in, right there. So they're part of the campground, but they are, a cabin.
And where are these eight cabins?
So the large ones are at Buckhorn State Park, Harrington Beach, High Cliff, Kettle Moraine State Forest in the southern unit, Kohler Andre State Park, Mirror Lake State Park, and Pottawatomie, and also the Richard Bung State Recreation Area.
So we were talking earlier about steps. Are the design of these cabins, zero entry? Do you have to step up to go in them?
Nope. They're completely barrier free. Actually, they're ramps. There are no steps. There are no even the flooring. There aren't the high thresholds even.
Yeah. Are reservations difficult?
Not difficult, okay. But they book up fast.
They book up fast. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about the two rustic cabins? What are those like?
So the two rustic cabins in Blue Mountain State Park and Copper Falls State Park, they are much smaller. I don't have the dimensions, but they are basically one room. Think of them almost like a wooden tent with bunks. They have electricity, but there is no bathroom in the cabin. They are, adjacent to accessible bathrooms, but they are they're rustic.
Sure. In terms of camping, tent camping, how accessible are, the state's campsites?
So the accessible campsites are all electrified campsites. They are generally, bathroom adjacent, near the bathroom shower building, and they the flat spots with usually paved driveways, gravel tent pads, accessible fire rings, which are just they're raised fire rings, mm-hmm. And accessible picnic tables on the site.
Has this remodeling been done in recent years, or have these, the restrooms and showers been changed over time?
They're constantly being changed. Like every time, an older building is either renovated or a new building is built, they are made to be fully accessible.
We're talking. Go ahead.
I was just going to say one of the other things too that I'm actually kind of proud that the parks. Bureau of Parks has implemented was that the picnic tables. When picnic tables are being replaced, they're now all being replaced with accessible units.
And what would those new picnic tables look like?
Regular picnic tables, they just have a longer overhang on either one or both ends for someone that uses a wheelchair to get up underneath the table.
We're talking with Nick Zowski, the accessibility coordinator for the State Department of Natural Resources, exploring the DNR's Open the Outdoors program and the work of accessibility in the DNR. You can join in with your questions. Have you ever stayed at one of the state park's accessible cabins? What was it like? Are you an avid kayaker? Where do you go and what lakes and rivers do you enjoy? What is your equipment like? Join in at 800-642-1234. So, Nick, the DNR also offers a couple of canoe-accessible canoe campsites. What can you tell us about these sites?
Sure. So the Chippewa Flowage, I believe that one's on an island. And then the Turtle Flambeau Scenic Waters area, I actually was up and checked that out last year. They are very, very rustic campsites. They have water access. The Turtle Flambeau one has, land access too, but they're just very rustic campsites. They have an accessible picnic table, they're generally flat, hard surface.
What is the terrain like at Turtle Flambeau and getting and maneuvering around it?
It wasn't bad where I was. It was a fire road or whatever back to the campsite. So it was fairly flat, pretty easily negotiated.
And in terms of the canoe itself, getting it into the water, what is that like?
It has a canoe landing that's, it's fairly level with the water. It's not like a steep graded hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in terms of the water and fishing, another big hobby, big sport here, do many or most of the state parks have piers that are accessible?
Many do. And, of course, every fishing pier that we do install is accessible. They're generally larger, like the T-shaped piers. They have lower railings. 25% of the railings by ADA law have to be lower than 32 inches. But we actually have been working on a new design. The first one was actually up in Lake Naka Bay up by Crivets. Hmm. That 25% of those railings, they're actually 20 inches high, so that it's still a railing so people don't, roll or walk off the edge. But it's low enough where it's not an obstruction to someone, sitting lower, like in a wheelchair to fish from.
What about shore fishing? How can that be accessible?
Shore fishing is, one example I can think of is Mirror Lake State Park. So near their boat landing, there is a fishing pier there, but they also have like a boardwalk that goes around the point. I don't know, probably 75 feet or something, that has no obstruction from the walk to the water, so you can cast freely. And so, but any spot that it doesn't have obstructions between the shore and the water can be used.
I just love those boardwalks because you feel like you're right in the middle of the natural element.
I do too. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. What boardwalks in particular have you been on or that you've liked?
Oh, man. The one at Crex Meadows, Navarino Wildlife Area has some.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drawing a blank right now.
That's okay. In general, though, how should you approach fishing to make it more accessible? Because, usually getting to your fishing site and having the tackle and the, all of the gear, that can be pretty cumbersome.
It can. Careful planning. Mm-hmm. I use a power chair. So when I do go fishing with my brothers, I'm generally the one that carries everything because there's about, 50 pounds of gear hanging off my wheelchair. Everything's careful planning.
Yeah. We are going around the state exploring outdoor activities through the DNR's Open the Outdoors program. Nick Zowski is here, accessibility coordinator for the DNR. I want to give a shout out to Kettle Moraine State Park's Southern Unit with its half-mile Paradise Springs Nature Trail west of Eagle. Flat, asphalt covered, good to go. Prairie enthusiasts and birders appreciate the mile-long prairie trail at Lake Kaganza. A portion of the Peninsula State Park Sentinel Trail in Fish Creek is graveled. What trail are you wondering about? Have you been to a magnificent paved trail with breathtaking views? What's your favorite boardwalk? Tell us about it, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about getting a nature fix and taking part in recreational activities with a focus on accessibility at state parks and public lands managed by the state DNR. The DNR program is called Open the Outdoors, and the goal is to establish more opportunities for all sorts of outdoor pursuits with adaptive equipment and accessibility resources. Have you experienced the renovated and completely accessible Eagle Tower in Peninsula State Park? What did you think? What improvements could the DNR make to state parks to improve access for all people? Have you been to a scenic area that surprised you for its accessibility or maybe lack of? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. Nick Zowski is accessibility coordinator for the DNR, and he stays with us. Let's bring in Jerry now. Hi there, Jerry.
Morning. Good morning. The question I got, my brother was involved in Bong Recreational building the cabins out there many years ago. Is there, would you be the person to get in touch with a service organization wanted to build a particular handicap accessible campsite or whatever in a given area as a service project? Who would we get in touch with? And is that a way that we could get more of these out there and it'd be a community builder type project?
Go ahead. What do you think, Nick?
So I'm not like the funding person, but I would definitely be a good point of contact. I would be more than willing to talk with you about that.
Are there volunteer opportunities that groups could do to any type of projects that the DNR is trying to accomplish?
Again, that's not really my field of expertise, but there are volunteer opportunities, I know, for people.
Well, Jerry, thank you so much for calling in about that. Anne from Madison couldn't stay with us, but wants to know if there are books for people who want to help those get out and explore. What are the resources that help people who are helping the caregivers who are helping people with disabilities?
That's a really good question. I know I have, we don't have any publications specifically for that through the DNR, but I know I've seen books in the past about like adaptive, recreation, from outside, publishers.
Yeah, it just takes some research and looking around in terms of being able to plan that next great trip.
Mm-hmm. And again, I offer this to people all the time. If people have questions about DNR specific properties and whatever, they can always contact me.
Well, let's look at the Eagle Tower at Peninsula State Park in Door County. And that has gone through a big remodel, a major rebuilding. Can you tell us about it?
Sure. So a couple of years ago, the tower at Peninsula State Park was deemed unsafe, so it was torn down, and in order to rebuild, of course, it's a new facility, it has to be made accessible, so it was we kind of used that as an opportunity to build, I don't want to say the crown jewel, but it's going to be pretty amazing when it's completed. So a 60-foot tower with a large observation deck and a ramp that goes all the way up to the observation deck that will wind through like the tree canopies and have a small observation deck, you know, itself. It's not, you know, it's still under construction, especially with the COVID stuff. You know, there were delays and whatever. It should be open later this fall. But I'm personally and professionally really excited to go see it.
What are the views like?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
And to be honest with you, like, that's part of the excitement is there are many, many people that have not, you know, just because of access issues, not been able to experience those views. I'm one of them. So, yeah, it's exciting.
And when might the new tower open?
So I don't have a hard date. I talked to one of the engineers involved in the project. And like I said, it was delayed because of the COVID-19. But I believe like late October, early November. I'm not 100% sure on that.
And how does the ramp work? Is it a straight up ramp or does it wend around?
Nope, it winds around. So there's an access point, you know, near parking, and then it will, because it's 850 feet long, so it's pretty substantial.
Yeah.
So it will, I believe it's almost like horseshoe shaped, and it will go through, you know, basically up to the tops of trees and then across the parking lot. It should be fantastic.
Tell us about hiking accessibility. What are the surfaces of the accessible trails made of?
So hiking is kind of, it's a difficult subject. So for instance, like what's accessible to me in my power wheelchair is not accessible to someone that uses a walker or, you know, has a manual wheelchair. So generally speaking, like when we have accessible trails marked in state parks, they're usually shorter. A lot of them are paved, or, you know, they use the limestone screenings, which is a very hard packed surface. What we're trying to do is come up with a system more like the federal parks use, that it basically gives the user information as to like what the median or maximum slope, cross slope, width, all that stuff, and let people determine on their own like what is accessible to them.
Right. So there's like this baseline and that they're much more predictable.
Yes.
Yeah. And in terms of obstacles, what does the state park do in terms of, you know, what would be considered a rugged hiking trail? Is there a way to make that accessible?
So some trails, no, there aren't. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. You know, think Devil's Lake State Park, you know, where they have the stairs that go up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that really can't be made accessible. So we do look at, you know, like other opportunities, hopefully. And one of the other opportunities that I thought I'd mention, because this is kind of a brand new thing. So there are certain classes of outdoor wheelchairs, some of them like that have tracks, that up until recently were not allowed to be used on state lands without a permit. You can get power-driven mobility device permits for hunt or for land access. Through a manual code change, we kind of redefined what a wheelchair is according to, you know, the DNR. So those chairs are now allowed on lands just like any other wheelchair, and, you know, enjoy those. They're treated like any other pedestrian.
Yeah, we're going to be learning about those chairs here just shortly after you, and they have these tracks that kind of look like bulldozer tracks. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Nick, I know you appreciate hunting. What are the accommodations the state parks offer for hunting?
Well, so the DNR has a series of different permits. They're class A, B, C, and D for it's mostly for hunting. But so class A is like permanent, mobility disability, someone with spinal cord injury or something. Class B is either temporary, like let's say someone had major surgery or something, and for that year they're going to be, have a major mobility impairment. Or if it's just a different, something that isn't covered under class A. So you can get like a shoot from vehicle permit. So if you can't, safely navigate 50 feet, off the road, like the law says, to hunt, you can generally get a shoot from vehicle permit. Class C is visual impairment. So people with visual impairments are like they're the only people that can legally use a laser sight for hunting. And then class D is for adaptive equipment on a firearm. So we offer those. And then also there is a disabled deer hunting season. It's held by private landowners. They fill out an application, which is super easy. And it's held in October instead of November. To give people the opportunity to hunt with rifles for deer before the weather turns worse.
Yeah, it's October 3rd through 11th this year. What do you like to hunt?
I hunt deer. I'm contemplating hunting for turkeys. I just haven't yet. But yeah, it's just deer. And I've hunted small game in the past too.
Where do you like to go?
I hunt on a private farm in southern Wisconsin.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. We're almost out of time here, but sit skiing, can you give us a quick primer on sit skiing?
Sure. I've been told it's extremely difficult. it takes a lot of upper body strength.
Gotcha.
We have sit skis at several state parks, again, Buckhorn, Governor Nelson, Harrington Beach, Mirror Lake, and Kettleborain State Forest, and Richard Vaughn Recreation Area.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Nick Zowski is Accessibility Coordinator for the DNR. We have a link, by the way, to Open the Outdoors at wpr.org/mornings. Coming up, we learn about the organization Accessibility Wisconsin and efforts to open up more opportunities to use off-road wheelchairs. Have you ever used an all-terrain wheelchair to get out into nature? What was it like? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more Wisconsin Weekend on the Ideas Network.
In WPR weather, partly sunny in the north, some patchy morning fog, then mostly sunny for the rest of the state, and highs in the low to mid 80s. Saturday, partly to mostly sunny and hot for south and central Wisconsin. There's a slight chance of thunderstorms in the northeast and a good chance in the north. Highs in the upper 80s to around 90, with heat index readings up to 97 degrees possible for the south. On Sunday, a mix of sun and clouds with rain and thunderstorms likely, highs in the mid to upper 80s.
Documents obtained by the Associated Press say the Trump administration is detaining immigrant children, sometimes for weeks, before sending them home amid the pandemic. Coming up after 7 on the morning show, we discuss immigration policies.
We're back exploring accessible scenic wonders in our state on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Monica Kamel Spaney is president of Accessibility Wisconsin. It's a nonprofit that provides off-road wheelchairs to help explore off-the-beaten-path. Monica, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate.
Well, tell us about these all-terrain wheelchairs. What do they look like?
Well, they're a motorized wheelchair that have tracks. They have a joystick. And you're able to turn them on electrically, sit in them, and traverse around off-beaten paths including the marsh and through the forest.
What about near water? How do they do there?
They do wonderfully in sand.
Uh-huh.
They can go out up to about maybe 6 inches of water. There's a plate on the foot of the wheelchair that you can see that you probably shouldn't go much above that.
What is the learning curve for handling one of these wheelchairs?
Probably 30 seconds to 2 minutes.
Awesome.
And the biggest thing is the tilt switch. Unlike other wheelchairs where you go up and down hills, you have to move your body to try to keep it level and safe. The wheelchair has a tilt switch that you can tilt to level your body while you're going up and down various elements to make sure that you stay level. So, but otherwise, a joystick is, you know, like playing a video game.
Where is your nonprofit put these wheelchairs around the state?
We have 10 locations throughout the state. Some examples are as north as Hayward, Wisconsin, or we have some south in Lafayette County. If you go out to the website and look up maps, you'll see the various counties. We've got them east in Milwaukee and Ozaukee County. We have some in Barron County, and we have Sauk, Dane County.
So widely dispersed.
Yes. So we're looking at various hosts locations, and those locations, we've got a partnering page. You can go on the website, and we've got an agreement. So a host location can work with us to have the equipment there. And then they're basically volunteers in storage. However, we pay for the insurance, and we pay for the equipment.
Where's your favorite place to take one?
Oh, that is really a hard question because there are so many beautiful places in Wisconsin. But I would say I really love to use it at Devil's Lake. It has been one of my favorite places to
yeah.
take it.
So you use it at the host location?
No, we're a unique model.
Okay.
Accessibility Wisconsin allows you to check the chair out at different locations, and then you can take it where you want.
Uh-huh.
However, if you're at Beaver Creek in Eau Claire or Ozaukee County, you're at River Edge Nature Center, and you want to use it right there, or Middleton Parks. We have one in Middleton Parks, in the Middleton Park system. Then you can actually use it at that location and enjoy that location and not have to take it anywhere.
We only have a few seconds left, but what does it mean for freedom to be able to use these chairs?
It increases independence, decreases depression, and it allows you to do things that you couldn't do before with friends and family, or even by yourself. It's very rare for a person with a mobility issue to be able to be out in nature bird watching and not have to have somebody with them.
Well, Monica, thank you so much for describing them and for joining us.
Well, thanks for having us.
Monica Kamal Spaney is president of Accessibility Wisconsin. We have a link for more information about these Accessibility Wisconsin off-road wheelchairs at WPR.org/mornings. And now it's time for Wisconsin Live. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about breaking up with technology.
I bet some of you are a little addicted to your phones right now. Keeping up with texts, social media, news updates, and cat videos, you're likely spending more time with your phones than the actual people in your lives. Comedian Esteban Tuma got out of an unhealthy relationship with his phone before the pandemic hit, and he offers this cautionary tale.
I should have seen it coming. Right after my phone broke up with me, I recalled all the signs I had missed. It had been acting pretty distant lately. It felt like every notification came with a sigh, every calendar input a bit testy, every response to the on button a little off. I mean, I guess I had been distant too, keeping it in my pocket while having dinner or reading a book in the bathroom. A book? And always with the perfect excuse. Zero photos of the Steely Dan tribute concert. I had low battery. No emojis in a 2-hour span. I was driving. I guess I could have at least checked it for notifications during the boring stretches of highway, but no, I kept it in my back pocket like some cheap leather wallet. Have things really changed that much since we first met at the Verizon store months ago? I was there looking for anything, an LG, hell, even a Samsung, something casual I could use for a couple of months. Nothing too serious, I just wanted to have some fun. But as I browsed, Dan, the clerk, pointed it out from across the store. That one would be perfect for you, he said. I felt like a boy watching my prom date descend the stairs. My heart was racing. I had it unpackaged before we even got to the car. We spent an hour just getting to know each other right there in the mall parking lot, our first date. But now it wouldn't even respond to my pleas. At least tell me why. Burn my pocket, delete my photos, anything but the silent mode treatment. At least give me the, it's not you, it's my operating system line. I laid awake in bed that night thinking, where had our intimacy gone? Like when I changed the pin lock to thumb recognition, the phone gently shook after those 3 seconds of contact, opening its home screen to me as I slowly explored the pages of the app's menu, the screen gradually warming as I slid down the notifications panel. I dimmed the brightness and... This is no ordinary love. I couldn't sleep at all. The next morning, I grabbed some coffee and tried to stay positive. I can still fix things, I said. I started by asking my so-called buddies on the tech support forum. Have you tried a hard reset? XX Crush Bites XX asked. A hard reset? Was he crazy? And erase everything with build together? No. I logged out without even saying goodbye. I needed professional advice and there was only one place where I could get it. Back at the Verizon store, Dan remembered us right away. Let me see what I can do, he said kindly. After several minutes that seemed like hours, Dan called me over with a sad nod. It's best if you both move on, he said, and he was right, and I knew it. Heartbroken, I asked, can I just pick up my SIM and SD cards? Dan gave me a minute. The phone waited in silence as I grabbed my things. I held the battery in my hands, feeling its heat one last time. The phone was totally dark now. Nothing but a black screen reflecting back to me what could have been. I got in my car, wiped my tears, and turned on the radio. Maybe I'd call the guys, grab a beer at that place near the Apple store. It's been a while, I wonder what Apple's been up to, I thought. Maybe I'd drop in and see what's up, maybe find something casual, something fun. You know, nothing too serious.
Esteban Tuma is a comedian who used to live in Madison and is now in Michigan. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.